Well, another week has rolling around. Rolling? I think that's a word.
Rolling with no G and an apostrophe above the N.
Well, that was Shane who just interjected on my intro. So,
hi, everyone.
And Megs who followed him up. Hi, everybody.
So rude.
We're back for another episode of Scene 3, but we've got a special episode.
We've got a guest.
We do have a guest.
First guest for Season 3.
We managed to wave someone in off the street, or what happened?
You lured him in with candy.
We met in an all-male massage parlor, and we just hit it off straight away.
The white van worked out for you.
Yeah. Free lollies inside.
Yeah, that's right.
Feel free to introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Dame, and I've had the pleasure, displeasure,
honour,
curse,
honour,
shame. Honour, yes, that is the word.
I've known Shane for about 15 years.
Experience is probably the word
I'd
use.
Nice to meet you, Dame. It's welcome to our humble abode, our
cinema.
Thanks
for joining us.
Well, Dame came, it was Dame's suggestion for the theme, which we mentioned last episode.
Which instantly means roped in for the episode.
Which, yeah, you suggest the theme, we will come get you.
I've got a bone to pick with you, Dame.
I didn't actually get asked. It was just like, so you're on next week.
Yeah, I just gave him an address and said, meet here at 8 o'clock.
I'm happy to listen to you guys talk. He's like, yeah, you're on the
show.
Okay.
That's the
how we roll. Yeah.
movies that were made by Rob
movies
Zombie.
Made by Rob yes. Zombie, yeah.
So I have to ask Dame, is this one of your favourite directors or musicians? Is this why we're doing this today?
No, not at all. I just was listening to one of your podcasts and had just watched The Devil's Rejects. So I just texted it to Shane, thought it'd be interesting to talk about and something a bit different. So
yeah, so
I think the translation from Megs is, what's your damage?
Why have you done this to me? She's saying.
I just like to ruin people's lives. Where better to start?
What better way
no,
to
I
do
think
it?
I'm really interested to walk through these bit by bit because there's a lot more to these films than meets the eye.
I think this is the good thing about these films is that they are they're good and they're bad and they're everything in between. And
absolutely,
there's a lot of discussion in there between each of the films.
Can't wait.
Normally we sort of go through other honourable mentions, but I guess he doesn't have too much in his back catalogue.
He's got a bit. I mean,
Lords of Salem, I haven't seen. Have you seen that? That's probably the one films of his I haven't seen.
Yeah, I have.
Is that what's that about? I only saw the trailer, and his trailers are.
It's a lot of witchcraft and sort of like a haunted box and a haunted record. I think it was. But I can save you time. It's really not great.
And wait, is his wife in the movie though?
Yes, of course.
Oh, of course she is.
Rob Zombie can't make a movie without his wife. We know this, right?
The whole cast is the same
in
every movie.
Talk about being whipped.
Yeah.
Jeez, can't even make a movie without his wife in it.
Well, to be fair, she wouldn't get any other work.
And she's not a great actress.
I've got a soft spot for her. I love Sherry Moon, and
she's very beautiful.
But for the record, I really do like her. But
she plays a particular type, and that's it. It works for her, so keep doing it. I guess, yeah. And I think Halloween 2 was his other one, which I haven't watched in a long time. I remember really not liking Halloween 2, though.
Well, if you guys want, I've got a couple of little tidbits on Rob Zombie just to
go for it.
Yeah. Let's learn a bit about the man because he's predominantly musician, right?
Yes. Correct. Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
My lack of music knowledge will shine through right now.
We're not doing 80s female pop stars, Shane.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Well, his first band was White Zombie, which was 1985. They got about four releases, and he took the name of that band from a 1930s movie. And then he went solo in 1998, I think. And he's got about six releases under his Rob Zombie name. And then he moved into film. He was actually, he did write the script, and was his directorial debut was meant to be The Crow, 2037. Sounds awesome. That's why it was probably shelved.
When did you write that?
I don't know. It's just, his script has been written, but nothing.
I'd love to read that. I'm going to look that up and see if I can find that. That would be a great read.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
I just think that title sounds terrible in the movie.
It can't be any worse than the one with Edward Furlong, though. Like,
that's true.
there was only one Crow movie.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That we acknowledge, yeah.
Is House of a Thousand Corpses, which is, of course, the prequel to The Devil's Rejects.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Halloween 2. He's got an animated one which is pretty messed up and actually kind of cool to watch called The Haunted World of El Super Beasto. And then he's got The Lords of Salem as well. And he's currently filming the sequel to Devil's Rejects called Three from Hell. He's been married to Sherry since about 2002. And he's sold about 15 million albums worldwide. So.
And is Zombie his actual birth-given name?
Birth-given name. I believe it's Cummings, if I'm not mistaken.
Robert Cummings.
But, Zombie fits better, I think.
Rob Zombie's much better for a horror film director. Yeah.
That's true, definitely.
Yeah, it's got a bit more of a punch. So, yeah, and he's just a sort of heavy metal. He samples a lot of horror movies and puts bits and pieces like that into there. So,
yeah. I find him real hit and miss. Like, some of the stuff I really like, some of it's really interesting, and other stuff I'm just like, this is hard to follow. And
yeah.
It's like borderline experimental stuff. Like, it's almost
I think so too.
70s French
art. I will say, what I was looking for the most was like really incredible soundtracks to all of his films, and I didn't think that the three that we picked really had anything strong with them. That
were you,
I would say
that waiting for the metal.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Honestly, was really keen to hear some of the.
Yeah, you don't really get anything, do you? No. Especially we watched nothing hardcore.
There's lots of pleasant songs, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a solid really soundtrack. Really like, great, I really like the Devil's Reject soundtrack's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that one sort of he was sort of going for that kind of western,
yeah,
like south.
I mean, he's,
I think he pulled that off quite well
in all of these. I would dare say, with the exception of maybe Halloween, he's trying to invoke that 70s horror, that Tobe Hooper era of grainy footage, rawness.
And Devil's Rejects and 31 both have a very similar style.
They do, actually,
and they're made
they
what, 11 years apart.
Yeah.
Actually,
31 was set in the 70s too, wasn't it?
76.
76, yeah. And Devil's Rejects 78
or 79?
Yeah, 78,
or
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, 78.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into the first one, which is The Devil's Rejects. That was my pick. Released in 2005, 1 hour and 57 minutes, probably a little bit longer than it needs to be, but that's just a
no
common. Well,
that's because there's a 5-minute musical intro.
So. Yeah.
That's true. There is a very large musical intro at the start. Tale of Murder, Mayhem and Revenge, $7 million budget, obviously written and directed by the man. Cast, you've got Sid Haig, Bill Moseley, Sherry Moon and Danny Trejo, which is awesome. To see Danny Trejo in there.
Yeah. Good to
see. And the plot I just wrote, Captain Spaulding, Otis and Baby are on the run from the law. Sheriff Wydell, to be exact, a man looking for revenge after discovering the culprits who murdered his brother are all part of the same demented and twisted family. I took a couple little bit of notes there from the old IMDb trivia, as we like to get into.
Love it.
Karen Black, who played the original Mother Firefly in The House of a Thousand Corpses, was demanded a lot more money, and so she got replaced, which I thought was interesting.
that's what you get.
Yeah.
I thought the actress they chose for her in this was phenomenal.
Yeah,
she's much better.
An upgrade as far as I'm concerned. She plays the Mother Firefly much better. Had over 100 digital effects, which I just thought was an interesting piece of information because he's all about the practical. He likes the old horrors that are practical effects all the way, but obviously, you've got to be, you know, budgetary constraint and time constraint. Sometimes you just
when you're filming like full impact gore, where you're hacking with axes and stuff, you've got to. I don't know.
Yeah, I think predominantly as well, it's like the gunshots and the cuts and stuff like that. That filming something like that slows you right down because you have to film it and then you have to put the makeup on and then you have to film it again and then you have to film from a separate angle, and so it slows you right down. Whereas if you do it all in one shot and then digitally add the slash or the bullets later, it's so much cheaper and quicker.
Yep.
And the word fuck is used a lot. Do you want to guess how many times?
200.
I printed your sheet. No, I can't remember. 228?
Yeah.
224.
Oh!
Yeah.
Closest to the pin?
I thought that's great. 224 fucks in an hour and 57 minutes.
I like the fact that we've had two fuck stats in two episodes.
Yeah, two fuck stats in a row.
We're all about the hard-hitting journalistic stuff
the
here,
movies
guys.
We're picking, I guess. So, as we mentioned, it's a bit of a sequel to A House of a Thousand Corpses.
Can I also add another bit of trivia as well?
Yeah, go for it.
The scary guy in this movie, the tall one, is Michael Myers, who's also in Halloween.
Yeah.
And as the masked man in Halloween, so I really liked that there was a connection with a whole bunch of the cast across all of
Dick. Yeah, he was quite ill. He passed away about a month after the film was finished.
Correct.
Yeah. And
also Kane Hodder is
yes.
a small role in it as well.
Yeah, who plays Jason. Jason, yeah.
Yeah, he's played a.
I was going to say Michael Myers, that's not right.
So I watched this film without IMDbing it. I went in clean slate.
Just blank.
Completely blank.
Did you watch House of a Thousand Corpses? Because I was going to mention, obviously, that's kind of the unofficial first one.
So I messaged Wingers and Lappy being like, I'm just missing one vital connection. Like, what is the go? What's the deal? And so when Wang has explained that it's a sequel to that, I was I feel like
I still think it's you could watch as a standalone film.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it just didn't have the light bulb moment for me. But by the end of it, I had to let it sink and really assess it afterward.
Yeah.
It opened up really, really well though.
It's a real convention turner because not a lot of horror films do you follow the bad guys. and the bad guys are on the run. And so it's effectively a road trip movie with the bad guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Causing chaos and as they're
and
on the run.
The bad guys are so unique and special. I don't think they really make films with these types of personalities very often, and I really loved how refreshing it was.
And they're far more scarier because they're just killing for the joy of killing.
Yeah.
You know, it's good. Like when we get to Halloween, you know, that I don't like that. You know, I don't need that explanation. Just I'd rather a scary person that kills without consequence and without reason or rhyme. Like, you know, it's very brutal.
This movie affected me. Like there was a lot of scenes where I like honestly was very squirmy because it pushed my own personal boundaries.
Was it
boundaries.
The gore that was doing it or the because I mean we got a lot of hardcore nudity, we got
a lot of sexual violence. I find that really triggering and I thought that, you know, if he was going to do it, I guess he did it well. You know, he really committed to it and
it comes back to remember when we watched a couple of weeks ago, I spit on The Last House on the Left?
Yes, that was another one.
That's what he's going for. You know what I'm saying?
It tends to be one theme that horror movies take. Like it seems to be you either do it or you don't.
That's right.
They get a little bit rapey.
That's right. Yeah. It was very rapey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a really easy way out because horror as a genre is a very broad genre. It's not like comedy or stuff like that where what's funny is always funny. With horror, you know, you've got stuff like sex and death. They're connected, right? Sex and death are a connected item.
I rate it.
So put them in horror, it makes sense. I mean, even in 31, he literally has two characters, one called sex and one called death. Like, it's kind of in your face annoying. But and I think that violence goes hand in hand with it. But it's very unsettling. And I think that's, I mean, obviously that's the point is to make you unsettled.
And I think without it, it would have felt a bit watered down. So in all honesty, like, I'm glad it was there.
It was actually substantially cut back.
Really? Oh, God.
Yeah, he had something like two dozen submissions to get his rating.
Yeah, multiple submissions.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently a lot of the actors and actresses, like you've watched a lot of the extras, haven't you?
I've watched a little,
Yeah, and like Sherry Moon said there was days where she'd do a scene and then like there was a scene where she's tied in the chair and he's threatening to kill her mother and she needed like 2 days off.
That's heavy as.
You know, and then there's scenes where
the hotel scene is a lot more involved and stuff and that's pretty confronting as it is. But
I can't even imagine as the brother with the long hair, like how he would have to snap into like game face.
And he's such a nice, like that as an actor, if you go and watch clips of him on YouTube, he's like the nicest dude. He's like this really, like he shaved his head to get that wig on, you know, like he's a really, like you see him with all that, the Otis gear on and he's like a really just nice guy.
Yeah.
But to switch into that character I think is a credit to their craft. Because it's, it's horrifying, you know, it's shocking. I think I kind of like, this sounds really crass, but I really like the nudity in it because I think it grounds it in a sense of reality. Me and sort of Dame have talked about this because we have a lot of discussion about horror films when we're supposed to be working. and I think that kind of stuff is interesting to me because it grounds it in a sense of reality. And you see it through all three of these films that we've watched.
Yes,
he's not showing you boobs for the sake of showing you boobs.
Correct.
And when he shows you boobs as well, they're not fluffy, surgically enhanced, makeup boobs.
Yeah.
You know, and he's showing men and women. You know, he's showing us as, especially these victims, as these lambs to the slaughter kind of mentality. And that's, I don't know, to me that adds a level of scariness to the villains a bit because it's like, they're almost treating humans like cattle. You know, the way they break into that Devil's Rejects, diverting off the plot, but there's a point where they cross paths with a traveling family who's like a traveling singing act, I think they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got, I don't mean this in a bad way, they're not attractive people.
Not at all.
Like they're kind of, like they're attractive and I'm not saying, but
it makes them more relatable and more human.
They're definitely more grounded in reality. Yeah, there's like the women are a bit older. You get that in 31 as well. You get that in, they're older.
I was really surprised by that actually.
Yeah, and it's like a good choice.
They look rough as guts in real life.
Yeah, and it's better. It makes the film better. Like it's the one thing, like as much as I say some of the stuff I don't like, I do like that. I think that's a good choice. Because, they're real. Like I forgot the actress's name in 31. She's great.
Which one?
The dark-haired lady, Megan something, I think might be her name.
Meg Foster.
Meg Foster, yes.
Masters of the Universe.
Masters of the Universe, that's right. She was evil then.
I remember thinking while I was watching this when they dragged the girl out of the shower. Is it not bad enough that you're now being held hostage, but you're being held hostage completely naked?
Yeah,
in front of your family.
In front of everybody,
So it adds a layer of vulnerability to you. And but it also highlights the fact that this terror is so real Your modesty is the last thing you're thinking about. You're not thinking, oh, that's my mum there. I better cover up my junk. Like, you are so petrified of these people. So, again, I think it really puts a sense of reality into it as well. It's because, like, I just can't stand gratuitous violence or gratuitous sex or gratuitous nudity for the sake of the gratuity. And I don't think he does that. I think he's.
I don't buy you saying that.
I don't. Like, if it's done tongue in cheek, like, have you ever seen. They did that recently, a remake with the one about the killer miner. I can't remember what it's called. But there's a whole sex scene in 3D. It's like, that's just tongue-in-cheek. And then the girl runs out. My Bloody Valentine. Yeah, and she runs towards the camera and the axe comes to her head and her eyeball flies at the camera and her boobs are bouncing everywhere. And it's just
so
like,
rubbish.
Yeah, it's just like they're doing that deliberately. They're planting their tongue as firmly in your cheek as they can get it, you know. But this, I don't think he does it for gratuity. Like, we were talking about Captain Spaulding's. He's having this dream about this woman and then he wakes up to the reality of this other woman. She's like, was it a nightmare or a dream? What did he say?
50-50.
Yeah, 50-50. Yeah. And she's like trying to kill him, you know.
So, Dame, what's your connection to this particular film? You chose it, so give us your history with it.
Well, Rob Zombie fan of music and stuff like that, so I just followed him straight into it.
Yeah.
I think I'd actually be really interested to hear your take on House of a Thousand Corpses, because it's such a different,
two very different films.
And yeah,
why is that? Why has he gone from one?
I think
to the
he
other?
Was still trying to find his way in a thousand House of a Thousand Corpses.
I think he was very much trying to pay tribute to what he grew up on and what he loved in the first one and the second one. I think he just really turned it into a.
I think he didn't know how to handle his actors in House of a Thousand Corpses because he's got like Dwight from The Office and stuff in that.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really lean on them. He leans on the visual context more. So there's parts throughout House of a Thousand Corpses where. It's like a music video and it's really disorientating and it takes you out of the story.
The whole crazy.
But there's like a 40-second, you know, here's all this shocking stuff and corpses and it looks like a I'm not into heavy metal, but a heavy metal film clip.
Okay.
And I guess
like how you did that when you
Yeah, I was like, yeah people can't see that on the podcast.
Rock out.
That was Devil Horns.
Yeah. I'll post a photo. And I think I think we can agree that his palate is way more refined when he comes around to the sequel. And he knows that he's the strongest of the three, so he brings them to the front and showcases them to the audience.
And I think for me as well, like Sid Haig as well, he's great. And he's
scary without the clown face on. he just smiles at you the right way, like, ooh.
I wonder if those are his real teeth.
I don't want to know.
They're just perfect if they are, because they're just fucked up, but like perfectly fucked up.
I think they blacked them up.
They must have blacked them up, yeah. Because
I think there's a clip, I can't remember if it's the start or the end, where he smiles and he's got white teeth.
Ah, right, yes.
I think they make-upped him, make him look.
Yeah, so I guess the whole, I mean, we've talked about the style, the plot of the film is these three, you know, they run into this family, and they're just trying to get to Captain Spaulding's.
What's
brother.
His mate's name? Is it Charlie?
Charlie.
There's so many characters Charlie. With similar names across these three movies. It really
I know, and Charlie's like in Halloween. They're all crisscrossing across this movie. So, yeah, by the time you watch these three movies, you're like, okay.
Who was in what now with the where?
I guess we kind of need to talk about the police in this film, the policeman, the main character.
Sheriff Wydell.
William Forsythe,
great actor. This, love him.
This particular character, I think, carries the film and gives it some sort of sensical plot. And you follow his journey as he starts off as like this really brave cop that wants to find these bad motherfuckers and capture them. He goes through this self-tormenting.
Sorry, are we allowed to swear on the podcast?
It's too late.
That's the first.
Beep that out.
I've given out. I've given up, remember, Shane.
That is the first swear word I think I've ever heard you say, as long as I've known
he
you.
He's just so passionate about finding these people. And by the end of it, he just becomes crazy because he's let down by the police force who are all total like morons.
Yeah. Yeah, they really paint everyone else as like idiots compared to him. Yeah.
And then it becomes a totally different reason why he's going after them. He just has to do it to get closure.
Well, we get that wonderful scene when he goes back to the house, which is the crime scene.
Yes.
Because Mother Firefly was arrested, so she's at the prison. They have some great interrogation scenes. And then he finds his brother, the ghost of his brother, sitting in the chair.
And his brother.
That's a great scene in a movie. And his brother's like, oh, I'm trapped here until you fucking get revenge for me, otherwise I'm trapped here. And
he's like, I'm trying to walk the line. And he's like, don't walk the line, they need to die.
And that's where, like Meg says, I guess that's where his journey takes a turn and he hires bounty hunters. And, and it's insane after that.
Loved it. I think it's, what do you think, Dame? It's pretty important, I think, that the twist where that moment where it all changes.
I don't
Could we get Danny Trejo? That's the best part about it.
Yeah. I think his skin was scarred from birth, like, honestly.
He was just made to be a bounty hunter. Like, he was just... I assume he was never a child. He came out of his mother's womb looking like
that. That's what he was.
Eating tacos forever.
You do see a massive shift, I think, a lot in the character, if this is what you're asking, with him as well. I mean, especially when you see him get fairly emotional when he's speaking to the guy and he mentions Elvis Presley.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the guy's
emotional
about that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the scene where he's at the farmhouse and he's sort of chasing Sherry and he sort of howls at her.
Mm.
And then, you know, with the stapling of
the victim's photos,
stuff like that, it's just a massive change and stuff. I think he's much more.
Yeah, by the time he gets to the third act,
compared to the first.
Yeah.
He's completely unraveled.
Yeah. He's a story in itself.
Yeah, he's like an interesting subplot, which is good because
adds a lot of depth to a movie that is quite.
B plots in horror movies are usually rubbish. They're just there to pad out a horror movie. You think of most horror movies, the B plot is there just to pad it out. Otherwise, you've got a 60-minute film. You know,
that's right. You did mention one of the weirdest things just very briefly, which was the film critic guy that came in.
Yeah.
Like to explain the aliases of the.
Yeah, I didn't even know that, but I guess it's true. Just, like, they're all Groucho Marx.
I haven't actually looked into it.
This film critic guy is like the worst character.
Yeah, he's like a terrible actor. He's over the top. He has no place in this film. But I do like that it gives him the chance to be like, don't you dare say anything about Elvis Aaron Presley. Yeah. You know, it gives him like a real hard term.
No, he's an interesting character, and I should probably look into it. I don't know much about the Marx Brothers.
Yeah, I guess he's probably from that. Because Zombie would be.
Yeah,
he'd be that era.
He's in his mid-50s.
Marx Brothers and stuff. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Lappy, I need to know what you think about this movie because I don't know. Do you like this type of genre?
I'm not a horror devotee by any stretch, but I don't think I find myself identifying with any particular genre of movie. I can watch anything.
Mm. Just got to be in the mood for it kind of thing.
No, it's kind of like I was surprised to hear you say how affected you were by it.
Yeah, I was surprised as well because I listen to crime podcasts and watch thrillers like every second
day.
And
you murder men in your spare time. Serial killer.
Yeah, how did you know?
I've just been following your work.
Yeah. I think it's pretty tame by horror standards.
Okay.
So
I guess I avoid them.
It's probably more the confronting, the confronting stuff is like the sexual violence stuff is definitely the most confronting thing about it.
That's what I do mean. I think there's the also,
this film is, and this is, I think, what Rob Zombie does best is the hopelessness.
Mm.
Yes.
And I'll prime that with this movie, and there's an example in all of these movies, is when he takes the two out to get the guns. He takes the father and the son.
Yes.
The son-in-law. And he takes them out and they get the drop on Otis because it's just the three of them in the desert. And he turns the tables on them.
Yeah.
That was such a hectic scene.
It robs you because you think, this is where the good guys are going to win. And this film is, and most of his films are about the good guys not winning. And if they do survive, it's with consequences and scars. Yeah,
like the same thing you've just said applies to 31 and Halloween. Oh my God, you're so right.
That's what Zombie does best is he creates this hopelessness that makes you feel sick in the pit of your stomach.
Yeah.
Like this son-in-law has turned the table and he flips him over and then he holds him down and then he beats the father to death with the club and makes his son-in-law watch it and then he pins him down with knives.
And then we learn later that he actually
cut his face off while he was presumably alive and now he's wearing his face
as a mask.
And just to give you an insight into my psyche, the most brutal part of all of that in my mind was when he full hammered him in the nuts when he was lying on the ground.
Oh, yeah, unnecessary.
I'm just like, whoa.
I don't care if you're a demented serial killer, you don't hit another bloke in the nuts.
Out of everything, that was the thing that put me over the edge.
Yeah, it was unnecessary. Unnecessary.
Full swing clubbed him right in the nuts.
I think one of the things with that scene as well is when Otis sort of finishes up at the end and he just sort of, the camera sort of comes up to him and just goes, you know, I'm the devil and I'm here to do the devil's work or whatever.
Yeah, he's like, strike me down, God. Yeah, he's like taunting God, just, like, God will save you. Strike me down now, you know.
It's just next level Bill Moseley. Like, I think it was.
It's what makes him such a good actor is he commits to that part. He's like a Michael Parks in that sense. Like, he's just a really good actor who plays a villain. But what else does he say? Because he says, he keeps saying, you're the hero. You're the hero of this piece. It's going to be all right. You know, like, as he's stroking his hair and he's, like, stabbed him in the shoulder and he's like, you're going to be the hero. Everything's going to be okay. And it's just like, that's so demented. Like, he does that in the first one when he has that.
Mm.
he has a bunch of cheerleaders locked up in a room and he's like reassuring them while he's like peeling pieces of their skin off. He's such a demented character, Otis. But yeah, I guess the third act is where everything goes a bit skew-iff.
Yeah. Tootie fucking fruity, ice cream pit stop. Like yeah. That just changes like the whole vibe again. And then and that's the country music.
That's, yeah. And it's Rob Zombie putting you on the back foot again. Like, yeah. Oh, these killers stopping for ice cream.
I was really disappointed that they were seemingly going to get away with it as well.
Yeah.
Until the final bit of the movie, which we won't spoil. Yeah. Should we spoil?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's great, the end.
They drive
yeah.
into
it's a solid end, really.
They drive into the police line barricade. Yeah, and
just firing their guns and getting blown to pieces.
I thought it was a beautiful ending. I've rated it.
One of the things I love about that film.
Is it Leonard Skinner?
Yeah, Freebird. Which I think is a perfect choice. And
what a great song. And the weird thing is, like, he's kind of trying to make you feel sympathetic for these fucking idiots. And you kind of do a bit.
You're like, oh, come on.
You're like, really, oh, they're going out as a family. Yeah. That's not, oh, wait, they murdered how many people? Like 102,000?
I think the thing that you see there as well is when they pull up to that police line and stuff like that, is there is a massive look of, I guess, sadness or something in Otis's eyes. He just kind of pulls up and he's just like, oh, really? You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're just going to do a night of torture. He slowly
wakes the other guys up and, you know, you can tell they don't want to get up.
Grab a gun, you know.
Yeah, and I actually think that's probably one of my favorite endings to a film and one of the reasons I like this one so much. I think it's a great music choice. I think that song's perfect, and especially with the camera shots freezing and the sound.
Yeah, he's so good at that, because that's a technique that you don't see, you haven't seen in 40 years in films, but it was really popular in the 70s where it's like, you know, you stop, like Texas Chainsaw tried to bring it back. But it's a great technique where you're panning and then you're stopping and then you're moving it and then you're opening the shot again.
And just like the sound effects and stuff, they just didn't match up with it, which I thought was just a really
It's all about that disorientation. Like that. Yeah,
you're right. It was a phenomenal scene.
Definitely. I really like the way they ended. It's good because, like you said, you sort of you can't let them get away with it.
But they were so, like, they turned on a dime as well. You know, like, they mock the people. Oh, fuck you. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You all think you're going to be the hero, like you were saying.
Yeah.
So they had that such strong mockery. And then when the tables were turned on them, they all whining, oh, let us go.
Yeah. Well, when they're all tied up in the chairs. Yeah. Except Otis, I guess, doesn't really give him, but he fucking wails on Otis. Like, gives him such a beatdown.
But I do like how they sort of take turns of like, no, I've got this one. You staple me. And then they're like, no.
Yeah. He's like, come over here. Yeah. He's like luring him over here, you pussy. Yeah. He's like giving him, like trying to antagonize him.
I think that was another really decent scene in that film.
That
whole chase down.
I mean, there's plenty of scenes that we take out of this film, but like the chicken fucker scene has no place in this film at all.
Yeah.
No, it really doesn't.
It's like, what am I watching now? This is a different film. And it's like this redneck saying, oh, you guys aren't going to fuck these chickens you're buying. You know?
I've forgotten about that.
It's just out of nowhere. Like Freddy Tootie I can let slide because it's like, it's kind of funny and it's disorientating and like it's quick though, whereas this is like going for way too long.
I was legitimately going, I don't remember anyone fucking chickens. Like,
and Charlie and I've lost the guy's name who's with him. He's from the original from Hills Have Eyes. Big tall, bald guy.
Berryman. Michael Berryman.
Yeah.
Is that it is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that was the other thing, because apparently Matthew, what's his name, who played the McCree, who played the Tiny, who's the really big guy, because he couldn't do the dragging the corpse at the start. So they had to find like a stuntman. It was like a 7'2" stuntman. Yeah. Jeez, that would have been like, 7'2". Do we know anyone? Like,
just make the body smaller.
Perception. Yeah. but yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Like, it's a pretty simple plot. There's not too much to it. Mm. For me, it's a really the thing I like most about Rob Zombie film, this film in particular, is just the visual style. Like, the guy's experimenting. He's trying things. He's doing different things, and to me, that keeps it interesting. And I would definitely recommend people to watch this film. I'd say watch House of a Thousand Corpses as well, but it's going to be a bad experience.
Yeah. Mm.
And I'm not in the background.
I'm kind of glad we jumped straight to this one, to be honest.
Yeah.
Save me the pain.
House of a Thousand Corpses, if you're really interested in filmmaking, watch House of a Thousand Corpses and watch Devil's Rejects, and you will see the evolution. It's a great example of evolution of a filmmaker.
Although I feel we might be taking a step backwards in the next one.
Yeah.
I would recommend this movie to anyone that wants to expand their repertoire with films and like dive into a totally different taste that they might not have felt comfortable or interested in dabbling into before. That's, I guess, where I sit with it.
Yeah. I think if you're wanting to dabble your toes in horror, you think you're pretty hardcore, give this one a go and see. Test your meat. Yeah.
Let me know how you go.
It's an introduction.
Dame, absolutely. Recommend. Yeah, we like to recommend or not recommend at the end of each one.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Love a true listener that's would know that, Shane.
Yep. Wait, me or him?
I was having a sly dig through you.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Stop putting things through me. I've told you about that.
I recommend that one.
Yeah, probably no, it's a good
favorite
one.
Rob Zombie film, like by far.
Yeah, it's definitely the best one. Yeah, that I like his stuff. Yeah. What are we transitioning next? There was a 2005. We're going to 2007.
2007. Yeah. We're going to do Halloween, which was my choice for this theme, Rob Zombie directing. Yeah.
Now, Megs, before you go into it, have you seen the original Halloweens?
I actually did. Nice. When I was downloading the torrent and looking at IMDb. Just
well, we don't condone that, but okay, continue.
When you were legally purchasing
renting this on iTunes. Yes,
on the Netflix.
On the Netflix.
Yeah, I discovered, you guys had hit me up and told me that there's an original OG from 1978 with Jamie Lee Curtis, who is a total babe, by the way.
Well, still is. Even if you watch Halloween H2O, she's still rocking in that with a young Josh Hartnett as her son. I watched that the other day.
All over it. I basically would not recommend jumping into this remake unless you've seen the OG, just because there's so many beautiful nuances in Rob Zombie's remake that I think add a lot of value and just really get this across the line, because it could be someone that has no context, could just be another hack and slash kind of slasher.
Yeah, I guess
gore film.
You don't get, you get more of an understanding of the character. Michael Myers is the character.
So, I'm a full crime thriller aficionado. I'm a big fan of jump scares, like more than ever before. I love roller coasters, I love all that kind of stuff. But this film ticks the boxes for me because it taps into all my personal fears on a day-to-day basis. Just like creepers watching you from the street in your window, like that kind of...
Look, I can't apologize. I've apologized once. I'm not going to do it again.
I saw you, man. I'm just so joking. But I mean, it really resonated with me and I loved it so much more because of that thing. So essentially, let me just give you the summary. This is a R18 rated film. 2007, it's an hour and 50 minutes and every second is gold. It's a reimagining, so it's not a sequel or prequel or anything like that.
Reinventing the origins.
Yes, in a really, really unique way, which is really rare. But essentially, it's called Halloween because it's when the film is based around where everyone's wearing costumes and pretending to be something they're not. But essentially, in this small town called Haddonfield, 10-year-old Michael Myers, estranged and mentally unstable, is imprisoned in Smith's Grove Sanitarium under the care of Dr. Sam Loomis for the murders of his mother's boyfriend, his older sister, and her boyfriend. Now, 16 years later, he escapes and is now in search of his baby sister, Laurie. And Dr. Loomis must warn the residents of Haddonfield to get Laurie before Michael does. And it's just like the most amazing roller coaster from there. So he just creeps.
Can I just ask one question?
Yes.
How did he know that was his sister 16 years on?
He has a photo.
She was a baby.
Doesn't he smell her in the movie?
Like a dog scent?
I think he smells something, like it's a scent-based thing.
What, like Lappy, he's a bloodhound?
That's
a
really good question.
Like, it bothered me for the whole thing. I'm like, how does he know that's his sister? I didn't even know that was his sister until I went, oh, that's his sister. Like, I might have been slow on the uptake on that one, but I'm like, how did he know? It was just like from the moment.
That's where your sense of suspension of disbelief goes.
Right.
Yeah, right. Not that stupid prison where they were like taunting him and letting him build
masks. How does this little fat dude turn into this mountain of a man?
Yeah, that's just good dieting. Like he's in prison. He's eating all these vegetables. They're giving him, I assume, some kind of steroids.
Second helping.
Because he goes about 8 feet in 10 years.
Right. So basically, Tyler Mayne is the actor of, Michael Myers is, that's his actual name.
Yeah, he plays Michael Myers.
Thank you. Laurie Strode is played by Scout Taylor Compton. Dr. Samuel Loomis is played by Malcolm McDowell. Yeah. He does so well and I think he adds a lot of value to this movie. Really liked him.
Yeah, he plays Loomis well. Loomis is such an important part.
And
who played Loomis in the original?
Michael Myers, age 10. I found that little boy actor, I'd never seen him before in anything else.
Oh, yeah.
He's creepy. So creepy. Yeah. His name's Dag Fake. He's from California. No real background. But he's also done like Hancock and Josie Gator, which I think is coming out this year, but he's born in 1995, so he's like 22 now.
Oh, shit.
He's got long, luscious blonde hair and a big septum piercing. Thank you, IMDb. Appreciate that. Yeah. But essentially, the opening scenes of this film is really what grabbed me straight away, because I found like the 1978 version was very, I guess, watery compared to this. This is gritty, dirty, so dirty. There's so much like filth everywhere.
Just when you think about it, the other one's over 40 years old. Jesus.
Stop it.
Yeah.
It's mental. And I've actually took a note down that every 20 years they've made a remake of Halloween, even to this day. There's a new one coming out in about six months.
Yeah.
So Jamie Lee Curtis is in the remake coming up in a couple of months as well. So get amongst it, guys. Definitely never too late to get onto it.
Wasn't the girl in this, Danielle?
Danielle Harris.
Harris, she was in the original?
She was in Halloween 4 and 5.
Yeah, that's right. She was in one of the, And she's like playing an 18-year-old and she's like 38. It's like insane. The girl with the dark hair.
Movie magic.
I think she's just one of those people who's lucky enough not to age at all.
Is that like when Luke Perry was playing a teenager in 902?
Yeah, when he was 65.
He was like, he was 1 foot in the retirement home.
Yeah.
Essentially, they open this film up in a really messed up, disturbed home life where it's really low socioeconomic, I guess, and the mother is dating this absolute dropkick guy.
Wait, who plays the mum?
I'm not sure. Soz.
It's his wife.
Come on.
I have my Sherry Moon.
Sherry Moon. His wife got in. Hey.
And who's playing in this film as well?
It's William Forsythe, isn't it? Yeah, so it's Sheriff Wydell.
Thanks, fam. Yeah. Got my back on that one. Essentially, the abusive father, like boyfriend is real.
Not my father.
Yeah, whoa. He's really detrimental to this young boy's.
Such a dipshit.
Yeah.
I hate that guy.
Yeah.
I was like cheering for the kid to cut his throat. Same. I'm like, yes, and
the way he did it was phenomenal with the duct tape.
Wow, just for being a dick, his throat.
Yeah.
But he's doing that dick thing where it's like if you've got nothing, you just mimic.
He just mimics
them all.
Yeah, he just taunts every child that comes through the door.
It really creeped me out. I don't know what you guys think when the teacher identifies that the young boy is going through some really traumatizing shit because they find like a dead
like
cat.
Like a bag of dead cats.
A dead cat in his bag. And
why would he carry it around in his backpack?
I don't even know. Yeah, photos of dead animals and stuff.
After school and he beats the kid to death. The kid that was bullying him beats him with a log.
It was a really gory scene where he smashes him with a tree branch. Well, that was pretty intense stuff. Yeah, it really escalates and all of a sudden you know the tone is not going to be the same as the original film. So I was in for a good ride. But essentially, like the night where it all goes down is trick-or-treating, Halloween. Like all the kids are out in the street.
Mask.
Yeah, with the little like sheep, you know, being a ghost and all that kind of stuff around the streets. And the sister bails, like she was supposed to look after him and she bails for her boyfriend. And mum's out at the clubs stripping and essentially
– a dollar.
The grossest thing for me is when
the creepy old dude sitting at the end of the bar when she's stripping.
Exactly.
I was watching her thinking Megs is gonna love him.
Oh my god. No.
That's the most terrifying thing in the film.
The fact it's that the actual people
he's there every night.
Jokes,
yeah.
That's his spot. He's actually got his name etched in the bar.
Cut it in with his clawed hand.
He has a feral.
Take my strong hand.
How gross is it when the girl's boyfriend pulls out the Michael Myers mask while they're having sex and like wants to?
Yeah, see, that's a bit forced for me.
Yeah, it was.
He's like, look at this iconic mask. Yeah. That's so well built that you can hide it in a floorboard for 20 years.
Yeah. Essentially they're having sex upstairs and the little brother is like chilling alone in the kitchen eating candy. He realizes his dad is asleep on the couch. So he duct tapes his whole body down.
I love the forethought to like, I'm just going to tape this dude down.
Yeah, he grabs the duct tape and he grabs the big knife. Yeah.
The big knife. And this moment is where the mask concept is born. And basically the first human killing he executes, he's wearing this really creepy homemade clown mask and it really all resonates from that moment. His mum arrives home with, he's holding his baby brother on the porch and stuff and goes to
the beats the boyfriend's head in with a bat and then kills his baby sister.
Yeah.
No, his younger sister.
Older sister.
A little bit weak though, duct taping him, considering he had a broken leg and stuff like that.
And
anyway,
he was passed out drunk.
I think it was just about.
But he's like a 10-year-old.
I guess they're
kid,
trying to build a mythology. And I don't know. All of this, which excites you, is why I don't like this film, because it's like an hour into a two-hour film before I see Michael Myers with the mask on killing people. And I don't think you need to explain the backstory of a slasher. Like, I find that detrimental to the character.
Mm.
Same with like the new Freddy Krueger. Yeah. Look, and that's why I don't like the second one of this, because in the second one he's just like a mentally ill homeless guy, and it's like, this is not like, this is
kind of feel sorry for him.
Yeah, I'm like almost sympathetic. Like, someone get this guy help, or he's going to keep murdering people.
Yeah,
I find less explanation the better. Same with like Jason, Freddy, all those guys. See, I just don't need an hour of like, he had a bad upbringing and he murdered animals. And
I don't mind.
So
I felt it was paced and structured totally fine.
Yeah,
to
it was paced. Yeah, the pacing was fine. Stuff.
I just don't like the fact backstory. That we don't get an answer as to why his sister is the only one that gets to survive. Like,
yeah.
Because originally, I guess she was
the only one who treated him okay.
She
didn't treat him anyway.
Yeah, that's what I mean. She, by default, she treats him okay.
But so from the doctor was that he was coming back to finish the job, but that wasn't his intention. Well, I gathered from that wasn't his intention originally, and it was only after she stabbed him that he got angry at her.
Yeah.
And I think when he's showing her the photo, and she doesn't know
and she didn't get
what it is and stuff. There's almost
sadness in Michael's eyes.
Yes, you're so right. You've nailed that, actually.
So your biggest complaint is there wasn't enough baby murdering.
No. No. I didn't want the baby to get murdered. In fact, when he looked at the baby, I went, he better not murder that baby.
Yeah, no. Too far.
Unnecessary, I just can't get behind the whole, like, an hour into the film. And I was looking at it when I was watching it. I'm like, an hour in,
But you still got a few deaths before then.
Yeah, I guess. But I just want to see classic Michael Myers. Like, the design of the mask is great. The updated version of it's really good.
And I agree.
And how it somehow holds together for 20 years in the floorboards is great.
It doesn't work. It's just sitting there.
Yeah, I know. But I think many things have just sat there for 20 years and not lasted long. But it's good. Like, I like the last 5 minutes. And like you said, McDowell's doing a great job as Loomis, and he's like, you all know. And
yes,
it's like,
but I also felt like what your point earlier of the hopelessness where the mum keeps visiting her son
in the
prison.
That is interesting, yeah.
They don't make any progress and the psychologist resigns and
the
she's
fork.
Just like.
Like, that was brutal.
Hectic. Yeah. You see it through the camera. Yeah, and she just goes, I can't keep visiting anymore. I can't do this and stops going
to. They keep building these masks and, I mean, I know it looks good, but like if I was a doctor, I probably wouldn't let him have a room full of masks on the wall. Like, I think the prison would antagonize the anger inside him. Yeah. And then you get this dipshit, like, idiot.
Prison guard.
New guard who's with Danny Trejo, who's playing the main guard who's looked after him for 20 years.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I don't care who you think you are. You wouldn't taunt him. He's sitting down and he's taller than you.
Yeah.
You wouldn't antagonize this guy. You wouldn't go, let's go and rape this other female patient
in his
room.
Yeah.
Like, he's 6 foot sitting down. Like, don't give him a hard time. He can break you, and he does.
Such a wiener as
I was
well,
a bit annoyed at him that Trejo didn't get a pass. Like,
Me and Dane were talking about this, and Dane made a good point.
It's actually interesting. Halloween actually tested really bad when they were originally showing it, and one of the things that the studio wanted to do was cut the whole Danny Trejo getting killed. Rob Zombie actually fought really hard to keep that scene in, to sort of just show the lack of compassion.
Yeah, he just got
He has, and that was one of his things he really fought hard on.
I think it works.
I think so too.
I think it's 20 years, and then he's just like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And then he just smashes you on the head with a big
television. I'm going to waterboard you and then throw a telly on you.
Yeah.
Shit, absolutely.
I always think of those scenarios where they're getting waterboarded, like they're getting drowned in. I'd just fake it. But then, Myers is smart enough to smash you in the head with the TV.
Well played,
I was thinking, just pretend you've drowned.
Yeah.
You know, if you can hold your breath for a minute, pretend you've drowned at 45 seconds. And then just stay there on the ground and don't move. But
that's
I guess the moment you're standing above you.
That's extremely rational thought for being drowned.
Yeah,
well.
I know, hey, it is, right? In the heat of the moment, I'm just naturally thinking, okay, so I'll count to 45. Yeah, no. And then you open your eyes and there he is with the television
and
above you.
Stop thrashing and go limp. Okay.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, that's what I would do.
So I loved as the movie progressed how it was almost frame by frame identically positioned with the original film to this. So when he has escaped from the prison and Laurie's all grown up and she's an over-sexualized teenager that loves to like flirt with boys and blah, 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 blah. There are those scenes where she's babysitting the little kids and across the street from her friend who gets locked in like the laundry room and stuff like that.
That's right.
A lot of the scenes where Michael Myers is in the house and he kills people one by one. A lot of those.
Well, it's their fault. They're having sex in a horror film. Yeah, so I'm sorry. You signed your own death warrant if you're going to have sex in a horror
upstairs film. Upstairs as well. With nowhere to go.
Yeah, getting up to no good. Yeah, I really, really liked that. And it added a whole unique spin, just like Rob Zombie style, I guess.
Mm.
That was really
but
fun.
You can still see shadows of him through this film, but it's very much a neutered version of him.
Mm.
This is a studio Rob Zombie.
Yes, this is a, like a mainstream. Like
yeah, there's no real guerrilla feel to this like the other stuff.
I think a question on that for you guys is how did you find the difference? I mean, Michael Myers not being a talkative character. Did you see any big differences between Tyler Mayne versus Nick Castle? Is it Nick Castle? Is that his name?
The original Michael Myers? Yeah.
Isn't that the Punisher?
It's Frank Castle.
Frank Castle.
Google it. Any complaints forward to our Facebook page, Care of Dame?
You can get Dame at...
Sorry, my bad.
Dame at Facebook.
Yeah, I just found that they moved completely differently and I'm...
Yeah, he was... I liked his performance. Like, I think a lot of people don't really give these big guys credit, you know, for the ones who play Jason, your Victor Crowley's, like... they're acting without a mask, you know. As far as I'm concerned, they're doing a job. Like, and that movement can make or break their character.
Absolutely.
Well, that's it. That's the...
Yeah, he was very good in this. Like, his strength comes through in the way he... Like, especially when he's beating her up at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when he... Like, I love when he... It's so stupid, but I love it when he smashes through the wall when she's trying to get away and he's just, like, grabbing at her and you're like, what the fuck? Yeah. He's just, like, smashed through the wall. He's like, eh. He can't get by. And it's like, all right, this guy's dedicated to killing you now. You stabbed him and he didn't like it. Yeah, I like his performance. I'm a big fan of Kane Hodder, though. Like, Kane Hodder's Jason is one of my favorite sort of slasher, big, scary dude walks. He does it very well.
Which one was Kane Hodder?
His last one, I think, was like 7 or 8. He did Freddy versus Jason as well, I'm pretty sure. I think he did Jason X.
Jason in Freddy versus Jason was Ken Kersinger.
I think was it?
Hodder was the last 3.
Yeah, so 7, 8, 9.
When did he play Michael?
Oh, no, I mean, he's Jason, Like, I'm just saying on the back of those performances. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think they're good. They should be a category in the Academy Awards. Best slasher performance. best performance behind a mask.
Murderers that go about their business very casually.
And who can teleport. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that would be channeling your inner creep when their girls are walking home.
Oh,
and he's just standing at the end of the street.
Yeah, that's exactly the scene that I'll never forget, even in the original as well as this one.
What about when she walks, like she gets home and her mum's fixing the skeleton and you just see him walk out of the background?
Oh, that's great, that shot. Yeah. Such a good shot.
Yeah. Big fan. Yeah.
I'm sorry, even if it was Halloween and I saw that, I'd shit in my pants.
Exactly.
Yeah. If I saw a 7'2" dude in blue overalls and that white mask, I'd be like, I don't care if it's Halloween. I'm taking a shit in my pants and going home.
No,
I wouldn't
shame.
Be like, hey, my dad's the sheriff. we should mention Brad Dourif as well.
Yes.
As the sheriff, the voice of Chucky.
Voice of Chucky.
Yeah, he's a great actor. Mm-hmm. Done a lot of Lord of the Rings stuff as well.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So I get the impression that Megs loves this way more than you two guys did.
Yeah, I don't really like
Dame,
it.
What are your thoughts, Dame?
Look, it's a fine film and stuff like that, and I think we sort of hit it on the head saying it's a Hollywood, you know, has a lot of involvement in.
I miss that Rob Zombie flair.
I think it's interesting that it was originally screened and it did so poorly that they actually have an alternate ending, which I'm not sure if you've seen, but it ends up. Have you seen the alternate?
Nah.
So basically, I've got the Blu-ray. I'll share it, but you know, whatever.
Oh yeah.
So he comes out of the house at the end, and there's like 20 cops and they literally just bullet after bullet after bullet after bullet. Yeah. And it's like, well, you've got like 25,000 shots in you now. Like, there's no way you're coming back from that.
Yeah.
This one's slightly more believable with a couple of stabbings and a couple of bullets in
the
chest and one in the head and you know, I just think for me, the Devil's Rejects is grounded so much more in, I guess, a reality.
A gritty reality.
Yeah, gritty reality, which... it's not a bad film.
Oddly enough, my ideal Rob Zombie film would be somewhere in the middle between those two films.
Yeah.
Not quite as loose as he is in Devils, but not as restrained as he is in Halloween. Like, somewhere in the middle would be...
How about 31?
I do like the bit of the end where she's sitting on him and she's clicking the gun and it's like, oh, there's no bullets in it.
Yeah.
But to me, I'm thinking there's got to be at least 3 bullets in that gun. It's a 6-shooter. He only shot it 3 times.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there going, no, this doesn't make sense. And then she gets one and it shocks her and he goes, bah, and bang, and she screams. And
Yeah, it's good when they,
It was a good little twist that she's like, oh, and you think, you know, you do that in Hollywood, you click, 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 and it's empty.
Mm. Yeah.
But it was click, click, bang, oh, hello.
Yeah,
hello, yeah, that's a really wake good up. Point.
Can I just ask a really silly question?
I love it.
Look, how is there a Halloween 2 when Michael Myers is killed?
Wow, Mix. I mean, have you watched any slasher movie ever?
They don't die.
They all end with them dying and they somehow, like, he gets beheaded in one of them.
Oh, okay.
And then it was like, nope, he switched the body out. I think he does a lot of body switching, Myers.
Okay.
I think he does a lot of... teleportation
you mentioned earlier.
I'm pretty sure there's a few where it's like they kill the body, but then they take the mask off and they're like, oh, this is Officer Johnson. It's like
Halloween 2 gets 4.9 out of 10 on IMDb, fam. So
that's worth it.
Excellent.
Anything above a 5 on IMDb is good.
Roll out the red
Well, that's probably a bit too high for Halloween 2 then.
Hell, yeah, Halloween definitely. 1 got 6.1.
So. Sorry, Rob, if you're listening to this, I don't mean any of this.
He is a fan. You've upset him now.
But yeah, I'm actually like super into this one, so would recommend to anyone that's keen for
it. Are you going to watch the sequel then?
Yeah, look,
are you that into it that you're going
to
watch the
sequel? I'm down. Yeah, next time I catch up with you.
Okay. Part 2 to this, fantastic.
Yeah.
Interesting to...
I'm probably not going to recommend. I just think it's a bit of a weak. I'd say go back and watch the originals. They're much better, I think.
Good point, Lappy. Is that the first negative you've ever given for recommend?
I don't.
You recommend everything. You're like, go and watch it. It's a terrible film, but I recommend you watch
this is a bad film. I mean, if you get, in this case, I'd say if you're going to watch something, watch the original.
But then you're like Anaconda 45. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I love it. Great.
They brought back Hasselhoff.
Love Anacondas.
Don't make me say my favourite two words, Bevisnakes.
Bevisnakes.
If this movie had John Voight in it doing a weird accent, it would be a better movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was phenomenal. Thanks for that. That was really good.
I'm going to say it is Hollywood's version of a horror film, so it's worth a watch.
Yeah.
It's not for your hardcore horror fans like yourselves. So.
Kill some time.
Yeah. I didn't mind it. It's all right.
I feel the same way.
There is one scene in particular that I really love about this film, though, which when the guy that played Charlie in Devils goes to the
pooper.
Yeah, goes to the toilet and Michael comes to pay him a visit. Mm. And just the way that when he grabs him and he's slamming his hand against the cubicle and it's starting to slowly buckle, it just sort of shows the sheer power of Michael. And I think his presence being 6'9", I think Tyler Mane is. And the way the camera kind of jars each time that it does it, I thought
you
was
definitely
a really cool
this Myers gives you a sense of strength.
Just massive dominance. And
You're right about that. The camera angles in this film are really well thought out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very
Absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you recommend?
Yeah, like it wouldn't be my first choice if I was to introduce someone to Rob Zombie. I think I'd just hit him hard with Devils. So
straight out of Devils.
So Devils is your first Rob Zombie choice?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. And what's your second, would you say?
I'd be lying if I said most of them. So actually, it must be Halloween.
Gone to my head.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. We've done well, don't you?
Yeah. So you got 1¾ of a recommender out of 4.
Segues into our third choice. Your choice. Got,
31. That doesn't really segue at all, but good numbers.
Well, I think it could be a weird, like, between.
It's weird how similar it is to Devil's Rejects, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
it's got
like
some,
they shot it in the same area or something.
It's like he was kind of just wanted to make a quick buck with 31, I think.
Well,
yeah.
Funny you should mention that.
Okay.
So we'll do some stats. So 2016, hour 42 minutes. Tagline, death is the only escape.
Yeah.
Got to say it in creepy voiceover guy voice. budget. Any stabs at the budget?
Like 11 mil, 10 mil.
Seven,
super, super low.
Is it 7?
1.5.
Oh, really? Shit.
So it was the first.
I guess the Halloween flops might have.
Well, it was the first Rob Zombie film that was crowdfunded.
Yeah, I'm ashamed that I was involved in that.
Really?
Oh, you did the crowdfunding?
Yeah, I've got a little bumper sticker that says this shit happened because of me and RZ, and I'm too ashamed to put it on my car.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, you'll be happy to know.
Because there's a lot of hype around 31.
There was.
It screened for 5 weeks and it pulled in less than 800 grand. So
wow.
They kind of did their money on that one.
See, I'd never heard of this at all.
Well, yeah, it's kind of, I guess if you're not in the horror sphere, you're not really going to hear about
most.
Yeah,
it's not one film.
That's a damn shame. So,
because horror films, unless they're like Halloween, like they're a studio horror film, don't get publicity.
No, not the good ones. You just get the big studio.
So you got to be on the forums and
right. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, getting these weird, like, talk to Shane about his weird French
horrors. French horrors are the best.
Yeah,
they're truly scary.
So written and directed Rob Zombie, obviously. Oh, Sherry Moon making an appearance.
Surprise.
Jeff Daniel Phillips, Lawrence Hilton Jacobs, Meg Foster, as we mentioned earlier, Kevin Jackson, Malcolm McDowell.
Malcolm McDowell's back.
And I put Richard Brake in there as well as Doomhead because he's my favourite character.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah, he's the best part of it. He's the best part about this.
He acts the shit out of
it. I will constantly tell people, watch this movie just for the opening 3 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Straight away with
his performance, where it's all black and white. He's talking directly to the camera. Yeah, he does a good Joker when he's putting the makeup on.
Yeah.
That monologue is just fantastic. Yeah,
absolutely.
Flawless. And then to reveal that it's a priest, and then the priest's begging for his family's life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
And then not.
Then not so much.
And then you get Dwarf?
That's exactly how I felt. Yeah.
Then we get the plot. So the day before Halloween, five carnival employees are kidnapped and held hostage in an isolated compound known as Murder World, but they never actually say that, do
correct,
they?
Correct, they do not.
So good on you. Name it and then don't tell us about it.
Yeah.
On Halloween, they're thrown into a sadistic game called 31 where they must survive 12 hours.
And we've got
the
these rich people. The rich people controlling it. Malcolm McDowell's one of them. They're all dressed like 16th century, you know.
What is it with these, you know,
The pompadoms.
These movies where there's a like a death game where they're people dressed like absolute twats. Yeah. Like they do it in Hunger Games as well.
I've written that down. I've also said Hunger Games meets Sin City.
Yeah, why do rich people who run death matches dress like twats?
It's just a lazy way to be like, this is a class thing, you know what I mean? Like it's such a lazy way to do it. And to his credit, at the end when the games are over, you see all the rich people changing back into their
clothes.
I kind of dig that. I like that idea that they're just normal.
And then if no one else is going to see you but them, do they need to put on this whole guard?
I guess that's,
No, it's kind of like when, you know, the Runaways, that Marvel comic that's, there's like all the parents wear these capes and stuff when they're in the meetings. It's like a thing.
Yeah,
it's like a ritual, it's a thing. Tradition. I think it makes sense.
There's really not much else to explain in this plot. Well, they're locked in there for 12 hours.
The only thing I had written
down
was they shot it in 20 days. So, go.
Right, yeah.
That's a great fact.
Yeah.
Good one.
I think me and Dame talked about this.
Can you stop using all your good material at work, please? Yeah. We'd like it for the show.
We were harassing some customers, forcing our opinions on them.
Watch
no,
this.
He made
what
the observation that like they're in there for less than 12 hours and they're stopping to sleep and eat. What the hell? You don't think the adrenaline would be running?
Nap, like,
you wouldn't be just like, I'm going to sleep, wake me up if I'm having a nightmare about clowns trying to rape me, specifically.
I think, like, what you were saying when the first opening monologue with Doomhead, where he's like, I ain't no fucking clown, that to me set the tone of something that didn't continue.
No.
And then
It grabs you. It grabs you.
It's so good.
As soon as it stops being black and white and, like, really gets into it, I felt like I was appreciative that I'd watched Devil's Advocate first to understand the tone of Rob Zombie.
Devil's Rejects.
Sorry, Devil's
Devil's Advocate. That's a different film.
My bad.
Keanu.
Charlize.
We did that, didn't we? Yeah.
We did.
Oh, that was a really
The fat hog beast who eats 1,000 pancakes.
Oh. Yeah.
That guy, he plays the rapist at the start, you know.
That's a good
movie. I think it really, like, when they transition from that opening monologue into the, like, the they're doing the road trip and then we've got our, again, another musical opening that's pointless.
It went for so long and the country tunes.
It really takes the wind out of your sails.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I hate a long opening sequence that doesn't serve the movie. Like, Bond films are the best at this, like this really long-winded, we must name everybody that ever worked on this film for 4 seconds on screen at a time before we get into the film.
One thing
they don't serve the actual movie, really give me the shits.
The one thing I do like about that, I guess, is the introduction of the characters.
It kind of
in
serves
a weird
the movie,
way, but
not
really.
Not really.
Like, but I like that Zombie gives us another group of characters that I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't like them. I can't relate to them. I like them, but I'm curious.
We've got the use of a clown makeup or mask again. Like all three of these movies, we managed to wedge a clown in there.
See, I liked the only thing I thought was clever was like that weird stripper chick who's like, you going hunting.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Oh, yeah, and then she rocks up later on. Yeah.
So that, I thought that was a nice little
sex head.
Yeah.
What was the Nazi midget called?
Oh, look. Midget Hitler is what I've written here.
Death head, maybe.
It was a schizo head. Was he schizo?
Oh, he might have been. No, that was one of the brothers, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was one of the clown brothers.
Yeah. So the I love the concept.
The concept sounds horrifying. I think the way it feels like they're in a maze, except you don't see if they're progressing, and it's like a rail shooter where you don't really have any freedom. It's just like it takes you where they want you to go.
I mean, the fact that you said it's a $1.5 million budget lays to that perfectly, because it's all like sewers and underground. It's obviously like no budget for a prop for sets, you know what I mean? Like, it was just like, this looks spooky. Run some water over these
taps. They got rid of Little Midget Man too quickly for my liking, though.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of get the impression it's like, okay, so it's what, five against one, and you don't know that the evil person's going to be replaced, but then, you know, they get rid of him and you're like, oh, he took out one, they took out him, all right.
Yeah,
everyone's happy, and it's like, oh no! Well, now there's two crazy chainsaw brothers.
The chainsaws were really good. I love that, actually.
Yeah. The dialogue with those guys, the two brothers.
They're the worst part about this film. Yeah, they're the worst part about this film.
But well, and they're again with the rapiness.
The mask. Oh, like the sex doll thing.
Yeah, they're like, we're gonna fuck you. We're gonna fuck you.
We're gonna fuck all your holes. And
see, to me, that's when I was talking about before about gratuity. That's sort of like when Otis does it. It's like, it's character building. As warped as that sounds, but when they do it, it's just like, oh, you're just trying to be like, oh, we're rapists,
exactly.
Murderers. And it's like, it just doesn't have any effect on me.
Yeah, I guess some of the camera, like the techniques that Rob Zombie uses in this, there's like a lot of weird photo panning, like quick slides to the left, change scenes.
He has a lot of Star Wars wipes. Yeah,
oh, yeah, he so definitely bizarre. Went to the George Lucas school of transitions. Yeah.
And this is 2016. Like, if you're not going to like intentionally bring in really quirky techniques, when you just chuck it in when you
be
feel
consistent.
Like, yeah, be consistent.
Yeah, you're right. You're
it triggered me a little bit there. But the gore in this film is, I think, its only strength. To be honest,
and even I thought the gore was a bit soft as well.
Ooh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, there's like, especially with the chainsaw, you don't see a lot of stuff.
You don't actually see much.
And same with like the big, big, huge dude who I just remember as the doctor from the movie Knocked Up. Was it Knocked Up? Yeah, it was Knocked Up. Yeah, was it? No, it was from Funny People. Remember, he's the guy that Adam Sandler goes to in Funny People, and he's like, he's got the accent. He's like, are you one of the villains from Die Hard? It's like, oh, very funny, make fun of my accent. And he plays Deathhead.
Deathhead, yeah.
But he has that big stick with a nail on it, but you never see it do anything.
Correct.
You just hear its impact. Which,
Even the clown brother falls on the chainsaw and he kind of wobbles a bit.
Give me a blood spray.
I'd like to see him get cut in half and have his legs wobble around.
You know, that's budget constraints, I guess. Yeah. You know, he's doing the best he can.
He could chuck in some of his own coin.
Yeah, maybe. But you don't, you don't do
that's
that.
That's not how it works. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I think the frustrating thing I found was the end. Like, when she gets to the house with the puppets in it. So, wait, are we implying that the guy from the station is
Leonard,
And then he's like, the siren's gone, I can't kill you.
Yeah.
And she's walking down and then he pulls up behind her and he's like,
I fully expected him just to kill her anyway, like, because he's got that crazy.
I kind of just wanted closure. Like,
but why did he leave and then drive it? And then he's obviously driving home.
I think it's sad when you kind of want that main character to get killed by the best thing about this film, which is Deathhead.
You're rooting for the psychopath. Yeah. You're like, this is bad. I just want him to have more screen time.
It's kind of like a Dexter thing, you know what I mean? You're really rooting for the killer type thing. And
it's just, like, the ending was a huge decrescendo. Like,
the way he gets reintroduced as well, like, he goes in there, he puts on the makeup, he punches himself in the face a bunch of times.
Yeah, he's bleeding.
He comes out, he's like, all right, boys, I'm ready.
Yeah, take the night off. Yeah. Even when we bring him back into the film and he's like aggressively shagging that woman.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I'm going to stay and have a shower. He's like, no, you're not. Get the fuck out of here. Like, he's just so rude. You're like, he's a bad guy. You don't need to highlight it anymore. Like, I understand he's
a
dick.
The fact that you're outraged at how aggressively he was shagging the girl.
Yeah, it was just the way it cuts, it just
so
jumps to it.
Unnecessary.
It just cuts to this, like, I'm just like, holy shit, what the hell? Like, because I wasn't like, I was starting to tune out by that stage, and then it was just like, I'm back into this movie. What's going on?
I think it would have worked a lot better if Doomhead was in it for like the whole film.
I agree.
He could have just been the single villain. Solitary villain.
Absolutely. That's such a good point.
Yeah.
They didn't need all of those other villains.
They could
have
just
been
copies
him.
Of themselves. Yeah. The midget, the brothers, all that kind of stuff.
Even the stuff of him at the end when he's on there on the top of the, well, I think an oil rig or whatever it looks like, and he's like, you know, the guy's like distracting him so she can get away.
Yeah.
He's like, come and get me. And he pulls his knives out. Like, even that's the most interesting part. Yeah. Mm.
What do you guys think of the scene where the redhead clown begs for his life and he's like, we're all part of this game. Like, we don't want to be here, where it's totally irrelevant to everything.
Well, see, that's an interesting thing. If you're going to do that, make it a subplot.
Yeah.
Like, make it, you know.
I really wish they dabbled more into it. I mean, obviously. No, not even obviously. Like,
because Sexhead did that as well. Like, the chick, she was a little bit, don't kill me.
Even Deathhead was like, he's like, kill me, but let her live. Kill me, but let her live. That's a good impersonation.
Yeah, that actually is.
Yeah,
that
was
the dialogue. Wait, were you impersonating McBain?
I just keep thinking of it from Funny People. Oh, very funny. You'd think I'm the bad guy from Die Hard.
The goggles, they do nothing. Yeah.
I love the German clowns. I think that scene where the hunting girl, the one we were just describing, where they use the epileptic lights as like a really cool camera technique when she's stabbing him, and it's like blurring and it's flashing and she's moved, and it's actually like a really incredible attack scene, I think.
A lot of stabbing in this.
Lots of stabbing. The sideburns.
I guess stabbings are cheap.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What was your thoughts on Malcolm in general in this film? He just did nothing.
I assume they did that all in one day, right? Like, it was a 20-day shoot. I'm guessing they shot all of his in one day because he wouldn't have been hung around.
And he did it as a favour to Rob.
He probably did. Rob, can you get my kids tickets to some music show? Sure, you just do this one day of my film. All right.
Send me the script.
Yeah, you're right. It could have been anyone. Like,
And it wouldn't have made
it. McDowell's a brilliant actor.
It was great that he was in it, but it didn't need to be him.
Yeah.
I think you could say that about pretty much the entire cast. I'm not going
to
lie.
Sherry Moon had to be in it.
Of course.
Yeah, come on.
I'm so jealous how skinny she is wearing those weird tops and like weird cowboy jeans.
She's always got the painted on jeans, doesn't she?
Yeah, jeez. And her perfectly,
every movie, it's like there's like
hair.
Four people that get her into those pants. There's no way she's doing that by herself.
They've got a full greasing department.
And she just ends up running and like falling over and they never slip down. I'm like, how does that happen?
That top troubles me though. That leopard,
with the lion head on it.
Yeah.
It's a weird
it's
top.
Just the shittest.
It's like she wanted to pick her wardrobe. That was her only request. I'm part of this. I get to wear what I want to wear.
The budget was so low. It was everyone just bring your own clothes.
Bring shit from home. Yeah, bring stuff from home.
Bring stuff from home that you don't mind getting ruined.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's a weird couple. Her and the other guy. It's like a weird couple because he's like really old, and I thought like he'd be like the father figure of the group. The guy she's cuddling up to that dies.
Yeah.
And then they all end up eating.
Yeah, that was
that weird scene that we didn't even mention.
Feast.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, rest, enjoy, get your energy back. You've been here for 6 hours.
And they're
I think it's even
it's
less.
It's a trap.
It's like, three
it's like,
hours.
It's like, oh, I'm famished. It's like, from what?
The kind of way they pull that back, it's like, I'm sorry, is that you really didn't notice that something was off?
Like, the psychopaths that are trying to kill you tricked you into eating. You're like, what the fuck? I wouldn't eat anything or drink anything.
Well, their first thought was that it was poison.
And then it tasted fine. I loved it. And they all started vomiting.
It doesn't really give you a good sense of time passing, though. Like,
the narration over the top was like, it kind of made it seem like, I don't know.
They're forcing it on you a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we need to figure out some way to
You've been here
think-
for 3 hours. Yeah. Like, really?
Did remind me a lot of that scene from Rocky Horror Picture Show when they pull at the table.
You're right.
You know,
it's
just like modern day.
Yeah.
Think of that. I don't know if that's intentional or not, but.
Maybe. No, Zombie probably loves that stuff.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't really like about this movie was the gaps in time. 1 minute you're seeing the chainsaw clowns and the next, like it'll cut to a scene where the clowns with their wigs on and they're talking like, oh, what should we do with the bet and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then like all of a sudden it pans back to the carnies and they're in a totally different like location in the maze and the Chainsaw Brothers are nowhere to be found. But in that moment, the Chainsaw Brothers were right there with them. So there's lots of gaps where they're just like
weird
change.
Continuity.
What's with the naked girls that held their like little things of cash that they were betting with?
They're wearing masks. Yeah, it was
wide shut. Yeah, exactly. It's like Stanley Kubrick bloody props.
Very weird.
Just walk in and they drop the little, you know, chests of money down for them to bet with. Like, okay.
True.
Did we just need like
that's the thing that irritated me greatly. They're like, I bet $5 million. I'm like, if you've got $5 million to bet on this and this is your setup, this is not right. You should need to put more into your setup.
But then the chick goes, I bet $10 million.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. This is
what? Yeah. Like, you should be building a facility where you're doing this. Like,
it's monopoly money, fam. It's a different currency or something. I don't
know.
Like,
if you were that rich, like, if I was that rich, just build a place to hunt humans. Yeah. You know, like, don't just get an abandoned oil refinery.
So it's 31 because it's on Halloween as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
Once a year. Well, cool poster. They got $10 million. They could do it every month.
Apparently, the reason they wanted to have it set on Halloween was because in the US, more people go missing on Halloween than on any other night of the year.
Awesome.
Oh, sounds like a made-up
We're
fact.
Facting like crazy tonight. That's a
ripper. Sorry, they're not facts.
That's a great fact. No, it's real. I've heard that.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all it takes to be a fact.
There you go. Seconded, it's a fact.
Two people heard it, it must be true.
Right. Hearsay is now a fact, everybody. Yeah.
If it's on the internet, I believe true. It.
You're welcome.
So hard non-recommend for me. Ooh. I just don't see any value in this one.
It's a hard no for
Watch
me
the
too.
First 5 minutes and yep. then that's Turn it. Off. And then
definitely not into
I just,
it.
I'm very excited but really cautious about Three from Hell because I want to see what he's going to do with that. Because I can't.
He's definitely going to ruin Devil's Rejects.
You think? Yeah. You think supernatural? Oh, wow. So it's definitely a supernatural element, right?
We're gonna I've have heard Dr. that Satan. It's a whole Dr. Satan, who is a character in House of a Thousand Corpses, resurrects.
He lives underneath
three.
In the tunnels and he experiments on humans.
Yeah, you really need
he's
to
He's a really
House
cool character.
Because it's such a different thing.
I'm doing
thing.
It. Here we go.
You're going to damage your delicate psyche.
That's what I do. Yeah. I got so much more of this kind of stuff. Like,
Just send us some of those videos you've got on your phone.
Of you. Those me, ones. Yeah.
It's just the top of his head, though. That was the really weird part.
I think with this one, like, I was quite emotional when I watched it the first time and just hated everything while every minute
of
it.
Is this because you were
playing.
A co-producer in it?
Well, that was part of it, yeah. Like, the shame was just great.
Like, I have helped create this.
And I was sitting there with a friend and we're just watching it and we're like, Doom it, yeah. You know, such a cool opening. And we're like, this film's fucked.
That's the thing. I think anyone who watches this thing opening, you're like, this is going to be a great movie.
And we just kind of sat there and we've talked about it since, just going, how bad was that film? And I'm like, oh, I'm going on this podcast, so I've got to watch this piece of shit again.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for that. But funnily enough, I sat down, I'm like, all right, this film's utter rubbish and stuff like that. And I actually enjoyed it more the second time around. I don't recommend watching it again, but.
I think you're probably right. I probably agree with that.
But if you do watch it twice, is that what I'm taking out of this?
Yeah, if you do watch it twice, I think it's a better film.
In a row.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. The second time round. At the start, it's still quite poor.
It's just a hard, I mean, at least it's short. What was its runtime?
Hour 42, it wasn't that short.
Oh, jeez, it wasn't that short then. I mean, it felt like a short experience.
You were just in a coma. Yeah, hour 42. I hit it on the head.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely a... If you want someone to not watch any of his other films, show
don't show them this first. Yeah. How many recommends would you give this?
Zero. Would not. Zero. Don't even bother.
Hey, we'll do it again.
Wow. I would say if you have some spare time, watch the Halloween OG. Yep. But also, this film had so much potential to be fucking amazing. And all the little nuances that you felt like could be something didn't turn out to be anything of value.
I think
it could be much better if they had the money. I think that's the big limiting factor.
Maybe that's what holds this film back. Is that, I mean, 1.5 mil is nothing for a film like this. It's peanuts,
Definitely interesting, for the first time, Rob Zombie person as myself.
Yeah, I didn't hate it, but, you know, you don't take a lot away from it. So if you think your time is precious, don't watch it. But But in reality, your time isn't precious.
You
it's
literally
not
have nothing
to watch
else to watch in any genre and you want to hate yourself for a few hours, you can sit down and watch this film.
That's right.
That's so heavy.
Yeah.
Well, that was nicely wrapped up. I liked it.
Yeah, yeah. It was a nice little summary there, wasn't it? That was movies made by Rob Zombie.
It was indeed. Do you know what we didn't do before we started recording is discuss what we were doing for our next episode.
Ah, that's
so
true.
I'm now going to put you on the spot. What are we doing our next episode, Shane?
Oh, I thought you were going to, like, tell me what we'd be doing in the next
episode. We have movies with a great twist.
This is why
Megs
is on the show.
Oh, thank you, Google Docs.
Yeah, we're all about the technology here, guys. But essentially, our theme for next week is The Sixth Sense.
Oh, thank you.
Lappy over here.
Movies? Did you say movies with a twist
movies
ending?
With a great twist.
With a great twist.
Great, yep.
Not just
I bet
an
you,
average
I can't
twist.
Remember what I picked, but I bet you it's going to be good.
Drum roll, please. Wangers chose Fight Club.
Yeah, that's a great
1999.
Twist. I wanted you to make him remember what he chose.
It would have been that or Usual Suspects was my other one.
And my choice, you're welcome, guys, is Gone Girl, 2014.
Yep.
Yeah. Really excited about watching that one again.
I'm tuning in for that for sure.
Gone Girl. That's good.
I can't remember if I've seen it now.
We've had a bit of a run where you guys have picked good movies and good categories.
Whoa. What do you mean we've had a bit of a run?
Well, I mean, we're four
episodes
in. Are
you saying we've picked bad movies previously?
No, I just think I need to subject you to more sci-fi channel movies. Is
what like your
Sharknado
animals that are two animals meshed into one.
Yes, that is a
that nobody can pick a movie for because you're the only sick person.
Right in. That was my category: movies where they mash two monsters together, so like Sharktopus and stuff like that. Because there's so many other movies.
You know it's going to be good.
And the only one I could come up with was a movie we've already seen, which Shane made me watch, which was Piranaconda.
And that was a
great
movie.
Do they make lots of these movies?
Do you remember the theme song for that?
So many of these things.
Yeah, Sci-Fi Channel.
So many.
Sci-Fi Channel is the goldmine.
Even like, is it Killer Mermaids or something like that? Oh, what an awful film.
The latest one I've got to watch, it's been sitting on my computer for a while now, is Ghost Shark. I'm just curious to know how this can hold. It's like 87 minutes. I'm just curious to know how it can hold together for that long.
That's phenomenal.
They'd save so much money on special effects because you just don't see the shark. And then
I hope that's
die.
The case. Brilliant. It's all invisible.
Yeah. And then they just pull the blood.
Not even like a special effects white, you know, outline of a shark. It's just
it's just a sheet floating in the ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
To be fair, the opening scene of Jaws, you don't see anything. That's pretty terrifying.
Yeah, that's true, though. You don't see that shark for most of the movie.
Just to go on the record, I'm definitely not comparing this.
I was going
to
say, I'm not. I want to distance myself from Ghost Shark.
Steven Spielberg is already typing an email to us.
An angry letter, an angry tweet aimed at scene three.
Oh, I'm excited. That should be really good.
Yep, twist movie is good. Good.
Yep.
Perfect. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. And thanks, Dame, for coming in and joining us on our theme which you suggested, movies by Rob Zombie.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
It was an education.
It's nice to get a four-way again for a change.
Yeah, it was nice to get a fourth person in there.
Hmm. Well, if you ever want me to like ruin your life again, I can. I've got so many bad movies that.
What other category would you just throw one out there? Do you got another category in mind?
Oh, the pressure is real.
The pressure on the spot. I,
no, I'll let you off.
Movies
the hook
where people are stabbed in the throat.
When the episode really nice goes person. Up, post on our Facebook like other movies you think people should watch in the horror
absolutely.
Genre.
Love it.
And we'll let that run.
Yeah, we should do a foreign horror. You can join us again for that one.
Yeah,
really rock the boat.
I've got a suggested theme for that actually.
Sure.
Horror movies sequels that are better than the originals. So that's a big one that I'm excited for.
Horror sequels that are better than the originals.
So of them.
I was going to say,
Slim Pickens.
I think if you said sequels that are better, like that, it's a lot easier. Just,
we need to come up with a theme where I can watch the movie Bratz. I still haven't seen the movie Bratz.
We have one. Movies that are made about toys.
Yeah, right. You've got
that's
that
right.
in there.
Got that, yeah.
Don't
yeah.
even stress, that's, my friend. Yeah. That's the following week.
We've got your back.
Yeah.
Good. I forgot about that.
So, as usual, people get in touch on Facebook at Scene 3 Podcast and also on Twitter if you'd like to tweet us. Come and give us a follow and whatever. Shoot us an email if you like, scene3podcast@gmail.com. Those are all of our deets, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing
perfect.
Else.
Perfect.
Yep. Cool. And we have Twitter.
Absolutely.
Well. Did
yeah.
you say we have Instagram?
No, not yet. Right. We don't take photos of ourselves recording.
Right.
So
yeah.
Yeah, we used to.
Yeah.
Our arms
but
enough.
Then Lappy enforced the have to wear clothes when you're recording rule.
It's true. I thought I might
think
set
of
up
the children.
I might
said.
Set up the GoPro and we should do a time lapse one.
Time lapse one. Nice.
Yep.
Let's yeah. do it.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Good night.
See you later.
What if it's daytime?
I usually listen to the car.